fantastic 4 days in Orlando. It did not end with a Hawkeye win, but the day was a great day for football. The sun was shining. It's Florida. We're back in Iowa now. It's like 9 degrees. You can't complain. We're going to break down this game, all three of us. Talk a little bit about the trip for myself. Let's bring in the new year. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 282 of the podcast. It's the end of the season podcast. It's the we lost a bowl game and we're losers for 260-some days podcast. It's the we choked and stubbed our own dicks and handed it away podcast. So I figure we're probably going to get into a lot of things here. It's going to probably go a little bit overtime, could get explicit. And buckle up for the end of the season roller coaster.
And I think there's no better place to start than, have you guys heard of during hibernation, bears shove stuff up their ass? People love that, dude. I got a lot of response from the last episode. I'd say 50% of it was bears shoving stuff up their ass.
Is there any zoologists out there that could confirm or deny that fact?
I don't know if we have any zoologists. Dude, if we had a zoologist, I'm sure we've got somebody who works with like large animals that listens to this show, but probably not a zoologist. If we do, please contact us and like share us like a 20 to 30 item list of random animal facts that we can talk about on the show. Because I feel like we could really go off on some of that stuff.
I mean, it's about to be content slow season here. So
Well, I don't know.
Just talked to my guy Shooter Shoots and he said he's in for a podcast. So I said, let me know what you are doing Wednesday, kid.
Yeah, we've got a whole new class of recruits, right? For the show.
That's true.
including a couple high profile. I mean, I don't know if T Good will come on the show or not, but I don't know why he wouldn't. His dad came on.
His dad did.
And we're going to talk about T Good, or maybe the lack of T Good from the game the other day. I know I said the other day in the preview episode that I did not think we would suffer in the running game. And hey, pretty good day on the ground.
That had to be the best our inside run has looked for the entire season.
I mean, can we all agree best offensive line performance of the year?
100%. By far.
100%. And we talked about it leading up to the podcast that they were going to have a whole lot of time to prepare for just one team, and that might be really good for the offensive line.
No, I mean, not just that. I mean, they looked just better technically, you know? Just better performed. Like, that was the best pass blocking we got all year.
Yep.
I know they had a couple key guys out on their defensive line, but still.
Yeah.
They had their best game of the year, which is really exciting to see going into next year. Because there's, you know, Shooter's graduating, Linderbaum's probably gone, but those other three guys really young. And
do we think Linderbaum goes?
Has to, dude. Has to. Although, you want to know? Let's get into it. He went down and the entire stadium went like this. And we all thought that there was about $30 million laying on his back. And I was like, oh shit. In that moment, I thought, oh, this makes sense now. Kid's got to leave. You got to go. Kid probably should have sat out the game. I was like, oh my God. That's why guys sit out. And it happened to, what's his face?
Matt Corral.
Yeah. What round pick is he projected to be?
First. He's like really? The 20th overall projection.
He's the top five quarterback. Yeah.
And I didn't watch the full game. I know.
Oh, his knee's fucked up.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Fucked it up.
ACL, I know.
Maybe MCL, but yeah.
Sad for him, but hey, the Fighting Dylan Doyles get a Sugar Bowl win. How about that?
Yeah, for sure.
Big fan of that.
Now, I saw a stat because I saw Donovan tweeted about how they took him there and they hadn't been there. And it's been really cool to watch him play for Baylor and be in Waco. He has a stat that will never be broken, ever.
Who's that?
Dylan. He had a passing touchdown, or not. He had a receiving touchdown, a rushing touchdown, and a sack in one game.
This was a few weeks ago, right?
It was in the middle of the season somewhere. But, yeah, like, yeah. Who's ever going to do that?
No, it's never going
to
happen
again. It's never going to happen again. I mean, it's hard to score two touchdowns if you're an offensive guy.
I did that two times in my career. I scored two touchdowns in my career.
Right. No, total. Right. Yeah. And then to add, like, oh, you're also somehow on the defensive, in the mix on the defensive side of the ball, and then you get a sack. Like, that's, I saw that today. So that was cool. God, I was watching as we ate dinner last night late in Orlando. I was watching the Ohio State Utah game. I mean, do we play defense? Is there any defense
optional in Rose Bowl games? You remember the Penn State USC game a couple years ago in 2017?
Yeah. I just want to know, like, is it worse to lose? Okay. So, like, Utah loses by three, we lose by three. Which is worse? Like, at least.
Which one do you feel better afterwards or, like, worse afterwards?
Because I think the perception is, and the whole perception of this year for Iowa has been, well, the offense is so boring. It's like, this isn't exciting to watch. It's a struggle, this and that. But is it cool to score 45, but then get beat by three because you let up 48? Like, do we want to go the other way with it? I don't think it's not a black or white situation. I mean,
losing sucks either way. I personally actually enjoy watching our scoring range of games.
I do too.
Because just seeing guys go out there, play 7-on-7, toss the ball up for, I think, CJ Stroud had like 600 yards passing.
573.
Yeah. Is that really that entertaining? It's like, okay, he threw it up. Okay, guy's wide open, runs for 20 yards. Okay, nice little 12-yard out route, draw, and he throws a 25-yard touchdown. Okay.
It's insane. Kickoff
return for a touchdown. We'll do it all over again.
It's special, like, team sucks.
Exactly. Dude. I mean, that's not exciting to me. What's exciting to me is close games where you got third downs and there's a reasonable chance that the defense is going to stop them.
Right. Someone's coming up to make a big hit. It's a close call. I mean,
yeah,
man,
but pick your poison. Ideally you can do both. You can put up a shit ton of points and
hold the other,
give up a lot of points
and hold the other team.
You could argue 10. That's the most boring there is because games will never be close.
Right. And then are people going to just get bored with winning like Alabama kind of has? I don't know. Drake, did we lose you or are you just on audio now?
No, I'm just on audio now.
Okay, cool. I just didn't know. Yeah, man, it was interesting. I do want to say this quick thank you and shout out to the Walk-On Army who came out down in Orlando. I told everyone who came that the budget, we just didn't have it in the budget to get Kevin and Drake down there, but somehow we did find enough coin to get the tech guy down there. Interestingly enough, tech guy handled.
That's because the tech guy gets a media pass.
Hey, how about that? You see that? You guys see that on Twitter?
We are the fake ID of
Iowa media. Yes, that's perfect. The fake ID of Iowa media. I was in the press box. Free waters. Free goldfish.
I saw your tweet saying that it's like a horrible place to watch a game.
Dude, I guess I didn't even think about this. I didn't really, I don't know. I just, you don't think about it if you're not a part of it. But I walked in there. So first of all, Lauren and I had tickets just normally because I didn't know if the press pass was going to be granted, right? That thing had to go through Steve Rowe. And when we made the decision, we're going to go to the bowl game. We were like, okay, we'll just buy tickets. And I don't know if you guys got the email, but we got the alumni email where you could buy like some tickets that they had sectioned off. They were up in I was sitting on top of the stadium, which down in Orlando on a 75 degree day is kind of cool. You can see the rest of the city. It was actually nice. It was a great turnout.
I'm sure it was nice, dude. Glad you had a great vacation on our dollar and didn't make us any money. But
I made us money.
You know what? It's great that you had and your wife had a fantastic vacation and got a press pass and everything. Like, you can rub it into our face some more. I mean, we already heard it last episode. How much more you want to rub it in, pussy?
Well, I'll tell you this, the Tesla was great. Dude, Teslas are, and I know I was getting shit on in the, so one of you at the meetup were like, dude, you're getting shit on in the Discord for driving the Tesla. And I'm like, I don't care. It's so awesome. It feels like a spaceship in that thing. It's amazing, dude. What?
Pause your story. Shooter shoots confirmed for Wednesday afternoon.
Fuck yeah. Let's go. You heard it here first, people. That doesn't usually happen. We don't usually get a confirmed guest. Now watch, we'll fucking have to reschedule. But no, it was great. I mean, Drake and I, we're going to talk about Universal and that shit show on Dickhead Tuesday tomorrow, because there's plenty to talk about from there. But it was good.
Dickhead Tuesday is 2 days from now, Clove.
Yeah, but they're listening to this on Monday. Lots to talk about on Dickhead Tuesday, including maybe some, I don't know if you guys want to save the Antonio Brown stuff for that or this episode, but for anyone who's watching.
We can talk about that after we get through the ball game.
All right, cool. Anyway, thank you guys for coming out. Several of you bought flags. I got to meet some really cool people. It was a little bit different than the indie meetup because there weren't as many people there. In fact, this bar who we had set up the meetup with also happened to book a Kentucky basketball watch party at the bar. This place was a sea of blue, and I'm standing on the rail, and I'm standing on the railing on the outside with a Hawks by a Million sign. Everyone's just looking at me like, who the fuck is this guy? It was unbelievable. And they were playing High Point, winning by 50, and they were cheering like it was March Madness. It was unbelievable. Anyway, thanks for coming out. Signed a few autographs, took a few pics, got to actually have some extended conversations with the people, and I love doing that. So thank you guys. Enjoyed the weather.
What was the fan vibe down there? Like, is it similar to other bowl games, you feel like, or turnout wise?
Yeah, you know, you guys texted me and asked about how the turnout was and what the stadium was kind of like, the environment. I think Drake asked 70-30. I don't know if it was 70-30. It might have been a little closer than that, maybe 35-65. I don't know if it was 60-40. There was a lot of Kentucky fans there. I'll say this. Kentucky had a respectable fan base. They were respectful fans. They were not like a lot of the Michigan fans that we ran into in Indianapolis. Right. It was a really good vibe. Right outside the stadium, there's a big event area. It was I'll tell you this, driving the Tesla, the Camping World Stadium, not in the best area of Orlando. We drove the Tesla into the parking lot that I got a parking pass with for the media pass as well. But to get there, you got to go through like 2 miles worth of some projects, let's call it. And I was a little bit worried. And I actually have a story for Dickhead Tuesday about driving around Orlando too and running into some interesting characters. But back to the game. Iowa obviously loses 2017. Kev, Vegas is good.
They're good at their jobs, man.
How do they do it? Those goddamn formulas and simulators.
They got some guys that know some things, you know?
That's a push, right? It ended at -3 straight up.
It did end up at -3.
Man. Gosh. And it was, oh.
Yeah.
Petras throws a pick on effectively the last play of the game. I don't know if they were going to be able to get down into field goal range or not.
They were damn fucking close, though.
We're 20 yards away, maybe? 25? Where were you?
He's at the 40-yard line. So
yeah, so
57
we're
57 from there.
Oh, we were on their side of the field?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were, weren't we? I walked down because I had to do the radio show after the game. So I'm watching from like a stair landing area. So I was like a little bit off kilter where we were at. Unfortunate. We needed 5 yards.
Caleb Shudek is not Unheard of from 57.
I've seen him hit from 60. And
in
it's
warm weather, you know, too.
Yeah.
So yeah. Let's go back. Let's just recap the whole game, shall we?
Yeah, what do you want to start with?
Dive in, man. This one hurts bad. Because we started off looking like we were gonna get run over.
Yeah, no, it looked real. Played,
let's start there.
So strong.
Let's start there, Kev, with the first defensive possession for us, and a theme of this year a little bit. You know, I go back to the Maryland game. I go back to several games. The Wisconsin game. They took it to us on that first drive, I believe. What is it about are we just really bad against the script in the first 5 minutes of the game? Like, what is it?
Bro, if I told you, I would let Phil know so it could stop happening.
Right. Seems like it this year.
You know, sometimes I feel like it happens in bowl games because you haven't played live speed in a month, you know?
Yep. And I noticed a lot of that live. I saw some of that. They seem to find a lot of good little holes, though, in that first drive.
Yeah, no, they had a well-scripted first drive. And then I've mentioned this before, but the longer a drive goes on, the harder it gets on the defense. It's a lot more tiring to play defense than it is offense. So once you get 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 plays into a drive, it's pretty much all advantage offense. One, they're obviously moving the ball. They have the momentum. And two, like, you start getting pretty damn tired. So, I mean, that was a 13-play drive. And it looked bad because they just kind of buoyed their way down the field. They were running the ball really effectively. But here's one thing I also think about is, would it have been better if they just scored in one play? Does that make a fan base feel better?
Well, no. No. But I think the idea is like, well, maybe we don't let them score at all on the first drive, you know?
Well, of course. But, you know, if we looked really bad, we would have taken less than 13 plays to give them a touchdown.
That's true. They earned it. They earned the shit out of that.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. It was more so them making plays than us missing them. There's a couple of things early on that I texted you about that we weren't looking good with some coverage stuff and the way D line was working. But
well, I think Jacobs knows what he has to work on this offseason.
Yeah, his coverage skills need to improve in this offseason.
He's a body, right? We've talked about all Under Armour mannequin team. And I'll be honest, there was even a couple run fits where he kind of got bullied a little bit.
I play the position. What I want him to do is get better at pass coverage, finding his fits better and where he's supposed to be. And I also want him to play to his size. I want him to be as physical as his stature looks.
Because when he has been, like on that, I always come back to that Iowa State play where he sets the edge and puts a hand out and causes a fumble. The dude is physically, he's got it all, right? If Kevin Ward.
He's still young and he's still got plenty of time to develop.
For sure. But his pass coverage was, I think, clearly. And everyone's got stuff to work on. No one's perfect. So, but he was out of position a couple times.
But yeah, so, I mean, they go down, they score, we punt again, and I'm just like, oh boy, I've seen this movie before, and I don't like it.
I turned to Lauren and I said, if we don't stop the bleeding here, I think this could go bad quickly, similar to Indianapolis. Fortunately, Phil Parker and Seth Wallace, they are allowed to coach during the game and they do make adjustments and we started to play better defensively.
Yep.
Now, granted, we forced a 3-and-out and then they went on another 14 play drive, but we bend don't break. We get them to kick a field goal.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have them go 3-and-out.
Are we just going to gloss over our turnover on downs?
It's not, we haven't got there yet, Drake.
Oh, we haven't got there yet?
Not even close, buddy.
Are you talking about the one late in the game?
No. The fumble.
The fumble.
Still second half, buddy.
Yeah, I think that was in the second half.
My bad.
Yeah, so we get them go 3-and-out. We actually put a little drive together
yeah.
and go down and kick a field goal. Now, we shot ourselves in the foot again because we had a false start on the 5-yard line. And we can't execute in the goal line. And that's just been a consistent theme this year. And it's something that definitely just needs to be addressed.
Do we think, okay, and here's where I'm going to bring this up. As much as we love Brian Ferentz, it seems we've got gadget plays. We've got, and we've got good play calls and a lot of the running game in this game. In fact, as a whole, I think we talked about it. This game from Brian was called on the positive side. And if we execute everything, he's not the reason we lose this game. I think we're going to look to, you know, number 7 and a couple of the plays that he was unable to make.
And it wasn't just him. I don't think the receivers played that great a game.
And Keegan,
that drive right there, Arlen Bruce drops a pass that would have been, you know, it would have been 4th and 1 still, but gives us the opportunity to go for a touchdown if we wanted to.
Right.
And then we kicked a field goal right after that play.
7-3. And then they go down and on a 14 play drive, we bend, don't break. And now it's 10-3. And then we, this was tough.
And then this was the tip pass for, the D lineman just made a good play.
D linemen had their hands up all game. I think there was at least 3 or 4 tip balls throughout the course of this one. This one hurt.
I mean, that's tough to solely put on the quarterback. I ideally you throw through your passing lanes, but that's a tough one to put solely on the shoulders of the quarterback.
Nonetheless,
I'm giving that one. Hey, the D lineman made a good play. Linebacker is there to pick it off, and yep, they get a field goal out of that one.
And honestly, defense, good job, right? Like, hey, stop the bleeding, put out the fire, right, Kev?
Put out the fire, man. I got to go back to the previous drive though. That 3rd and 26 that they converted, damn near gave me a brain aneurysm.
And can you break that down a little bit for us?
So we were playing cover 2 man, which.
How do you feel about it, Kevin? Tell us how you feel about cover 2 man.
I've never liked us in that coverage. It's just not our strong suit. We don't play it very well. So for you people listening out there, 2-man, you have 2 high safeties and then everyone else is man to man across the board. And what that can do is where is cover 2 weak? It's weak in the middle and it's weak on the outside. The seams are well guarded because you got safeties there. It happens a lot. You know, we'll get beat on an out route. We'll get beat, you know, comeback route, something where the quarterback sees like, okay, I got 2-man. It's really easy coverage to read. And he's like, okay, bam, here's my options right here. And then Dane Belton just gets beat by their best player.
Did Dane's
Dane's aren't there to make the play in time. I felt like they're too deep. I mean, it's 3rd and 26 and they're behind the line to gain still, which, you know, yeah, there's lots to correct on that.
Tough play for the Hawks on that one. Phil lost a year or two off his life on that play alone. And that
ends up being a field goal. That's 3 points.
That's the difference
in the game right there. So,
but hey, we actually get the ball back. I think a lot of people maybe thought we were going to, you know, we've done it plenty of times before, you know, just kneel it, go to half.
That's what I was expecting. Yeah.
And hey, credit. We come out on that last little play. We give it to Gavin for 10 yards. We complete to Ivo for 10 yards. We're getting out of bounds, stopping the clock. Ivo, 12 yards.
What do you think? We're at the 47 with 5 seconds left. We still had a timeout. Did y'all think we should have tried to get in like 10 more yards and call a timeout? Or I that's what I would have done personally if I'm head coach versus going for the Hail Mary.
Drake, what do you think on that?
I don't know, man. I see it both ways, but I really like the Hail Mary.
Okay, who are you throwing it to on the Hail Mary? Do we have someone who is a jump ball guy?
No, we don't. And because of that, I guess you're probably more plus EV, but I don't know how plus EV a field goal is from there. Like,
well, if we can run a quick, hold on, we're on the
40. Yeah, but everybody and their mom knows to guard the sideline. If we line back up in formation,
we have to go to the sideline. We have a timeout.
We did have a timeout. If we throw a quick little,
well, then I guess I didn't realize we had one timeout left.
If we throw a quick little hook route, a button route, 5-6 yards, we get it to the 40. It's a 58 yarder for Caleb Shudak. You're probably better percentage from there than a Hail Mary if you run them both 100 times, right? Run it twice on the poker table.
Oh, bro, a Hail Mary's got to have like a 5% success rate.
Maybe less, yeah. unless you got D-Hop and he just goes up and mosses everybody. So, yeah, I'm probably looking to get a little 5-yard play there, take the timeout. But I understand that 5 seconds can tick off real fast too if things don't go right.
Dude, something can get out of hand, man.
So
okay, well then, you know, it ends just like it ended, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I think because of the exact dead zone on the field that we were in at that particular time, it was like we got just to the brink of scoring position.
Yeah.
But we didn't have enough time to start with to get all the way there. So we had to take our chances on a Hail Mary. Like we were just in that unfortunate dead zone.
Yeah. You're really just not scoring a whole lot of time, regardless of what you choose there. I will say this. I'm happy to see us try and make something happen with 40 seconds left in the half. Right.
Yeah.
I'm happy to see us not tuck our tail and run. And, you know, like we did a couple times on some backed up drives in the Big Ten Championship. I think the Colorado State game, when we were down at half 14-7 or whatever that was, we tucked our tail on that one before halftime. And look what we got. Like, we at least got a shot. Spencer got it to the end zone, got a chance to get a tip, right? We just, you know, sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. I just saw it work in the, the Carson Wentz did it today. It wasn't like at the end of the half, but he threw it down to the end zone and they tipped it up and they had a little tutter from it. So we go to halftime and it's 13-3 and Kentucky's got solid control, but it's still just a 10-point game.
Yeah, it's just a 10-point game. The defense is kind of sturdied up a little bit and the offense started moving the ball a little bit. So it's not like one of those 10-point games, which at times has felt like insurmountable.
Like the Purdue game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the defense came out of half stoic.
Yeah.
They just came out of half and started doing their job.
I'll tell you what, the D-line, and I got to talk to Valk's parents at the meetup. I told them thank you for your son making 9-7 look more exciting and athletic than I ever did. Great people. He's going to get a shot in the league somewhere for sure. And my guy, he actually just announced before this podcast, I just saw it on Twitter, that he's going to be playing in the Collegiate Bowl. I've never even heard of it, but I'm sure it's been for a while. He's going to play in an all-star game. He had one hell of a last game in the black and gold, 2 sacks. They were double.
The D-line in general, I mean, what do we have? 6 sacks?
6 sacks. Like Joe Evans, Van Ness. Bro, I'm telling you this. Our D-line, they're going to be a problem next year. They're going to be a problem next year. Our D-line is the strength of our team next year.
Yeah. And
the D-line's been the strength of our team, man.
I know. And we only lose Van Valken.
We've been relying on D-lines for a while now.
Since Claiborne. You know? So, They played phenomenal. Joe Evans, who's my favorite player on the team.
No, Monty Potterbaum, dickhead.
Talk about your favorite, Drake.
Yeah, that could be your favorite. What, talk about Monty. How did Monty play?
Dude, he played really, really well. That guy, he was eating linebackers lunch, dude. He was taking lunch money pretty early and often.
Yeah.
And he was honestly a pretty big part of the run game, because if you watched a couple of his inserts, like, because he actually got outside shoulder and pushed the linebacker inside, the running back just had a wide open seam. So Monty responsible for quite a few yards after line of scrimmage.
Yeah. I liked what I saw from him. I think, you know what, from before we go back to where we were in the game, sort of right out of half there, offensively, again, like we said, best performance from the offensive line, but like just the cohesion of the running backs. I mean, let's.
Bro, I think our running back room might be better next year than it was this year.
I agree.
And what's up with guys named LaShawn coming in playing running back with big ass arms?
Dude, he's short. I don't know if he's taller than 5'10 or 11, but the guy lowers his shoulder and trucks people, man. He runs hard as hell.
Bro, short dudes that are stocky and built, those are the hardest dudes to tackle. It hurts.
That's why I was always trying to convince Coach White to give me the ball, really, but he never would.
Dude, I really like the way those two ran the ball. I think
they run downhill.
And with the way our offensive line has improved in the last, you know, I'd even point to the last couple of games as well. I think we're going to be in a much better situation offensively next year.
Way better. Dude, think about this. Laporta's testing the NFL waters, right? And I don't know what they tell him or if he ends up going. But let's assume that Laporta's still here and Lachey is still here. We get back tight end one and two. From the bowl game, from what we just saw, we get both of those running backs back that played a major role. We get 3 out of 5 offensive linemen who now have a ton of experience. A bunch of guys that weren't a part of the starting five this year also have experience from all of the rotational stuff we went through this year. We get Keegan, we get Arland, we get Nico.
Nico's gone, I think.
Or is he? We get we have Keegan and Arland, who really in our offense is about all you need. We'll have one or two others step up and play roles. The quarterback is the question.
We'll tackle that one some other time.
I think we save that one for maybe next podcast, because there's a lot to talk about there, but let's be honest. Hey,
just the whole performance in general, like we just save his whole performance in general for another podcast.
His performance and what Brian and KF and O'Keefe need to reasonably.
Dude, we believed in the guy.
I sucked him off before he ever played a game. I can pull I'll pull the tape. And while maybe Spencer wouldn't have scored a bunch of points in a fantasy football matchup during the Kentucky game, you guys could get some players who could by playing Ultimate Fan. If you haven't joined us right now, recently, in the last few weeks, you're missing out. You're literally throwing away a free opportunity at over $40,000 in gift cards. And not only that, but the better stuff is the new merch that we have coming in the new year, the new accessories. You have a chance to win that by signing up for Ultimate Fan. Use the link in the description and play against us in the next level fantasy football free to play on iOS and Android. Can't talk. Pack openings meets fantasy football. You've heard me talk about it. You've seen me post about it on fantasy football. It's what we're doing through this, the end of last year and the start of this new year. Open packs, collect cards, build your roster, pick your weekly lineup. All right. Football's getting intense. We're coming down to crunch time. Teams are trying to make the playoffs, wild card runs. All these guys are going to be scoring a ton of points. You have a chance to open up packs, build your team, and join us right now. All the games count for these next few weekends. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus, U.S. and Canada only. And see if you can compete. I got Davante Adams. He carries my team. See if you can beat me. If you can beat me, I'll throw in some personal stuff. I'll throw in a personal wager. You hit me up, we'll figure something out. All right, now let's go talk about our quarterback. Back to the show. I will pull the tape and I'll find it for next podcast. I told you, I think in the summer of 2020, I said, boys, I think Petrus could be really, really good. And he just hasn't been. And hey, and you know what? For I know there's people out there who are like sitting, you know, that God, their fingers are orange, man. They're orange, but they're sitting in their seats going, oh yeah, I told you. Finally, they admit it. Admit nothing, right? Like, I have been what I think is just straight up honest about what I thought of Spencer all year. I've never said he's played great. I have tried to maybe defend a little bit when people think it's all about his fault.
I mean, the offensive line had really good pass protection.
Yeah.
He missed a bunch of throws.
Missed. Yeah. I agree.
He missed some throws that were just pat and go throws. You know, the guy was so wide open that it's just routes on air.
And we ran.
I'm kind of dumbfounded by it.
We ran the Penn State play again and he missed Nico wide open.
No. He hit LaPorta on that one. No,
we ran
a different play.
That wasn't the exact same play to Nico that we ran. Like, I know we ran a version of it to LaPorta for like a 34-yard gain and he hit LaPorta
he missed Nico twice, who was very, very much wide open. I don't think either of them was the Penn State.
Okay. Well, it looks similar in the stadium, but it probably wasn't exactly right. Credit to him for hitting LaPorta. But again, like, we're wide open on that 34-yard gain. I mean, Brian in the second half was calling plays out of his ass, dude. Like, I'm telling you, man, like,
Let's get back into where we were at, you know. First drive, we force a punt out of Kentucky.
Yep.
Then we drive down the field and it's fourth and one at the 11. And we fumble. We can't get the center quarterback exchange right on a quarterback sneak.
That one hurt. I think that's the one Drake's talking about.
Yeah, that was what Drake was talking about. And I mean,
and at what point in the game did that happen?
Do something they've done, not even jokingly, 10,000 times.
Drake, that was our first possession out of the second half, offensive.
See, possession. Okay, that's what I was thinking. I got my halves wrong. I was thinking that happened really early after a half. Okay.
Yeah. So that hurts because not only do we not get that first down, but that's a fourth. Like, we don't get three either. And we just give.
No, I completely agree with the idea to go for it.
I do too.
Me too.
Points. You're down 10 points and points are at a premium right now. I think you got to kind of press your chances when you're down there. And if we just get the snap right, he converts and we have a chance for a touchdown, but we just can't do something that is the most basic thing in football.
It was disheartening to say the least. In the stadium, yeah. it was like a gut punch. It was just like, are you kidding me, man? Like, this offense does not put together 70 plus yard drives very often. And when we do, we have to get points, something.
Yeah. And, you know, in the red zone again, shoot ourselves in the foot.
What is it about? Like, oh man,
this has been just straight up a bad red zone offense.
Yeah, and I'm not even pulling punches on this. Like, I would have to go back and watch it all.
Yeah, I think play calling is a part of it. I think execution is a part of it. There's just nothing good is happening in the red zone for us this year.
It would almost seem like
we lost us games.
Yeah. It would almost seem like, you know, you look at the Monty call in the Big Ten Championship. You look at the call that we gave to Arlen, the end around touchdown. A few, like, it's like we almost get more extreme when we get into the red zone. And I'm talking about Brian now. Is like he pulls out his best plays, but they get few and far between. And then the rest of it is just like, what are we doing? And I know this, why is it so hard to score in the red zone for teams, football teams in general? It's because the field is shorter, right? The defense,
everything happens extremely fast.
Yes. So the defense, in a weird way, the closer they get to their own end zone, they gain some slight advantage here because of the condensed field. But it's not like Iowa's an offense that's taken the top off, right? We live within 20 yards. We should be able to be a pretty good red zone offense because we don't have that threat of throwing for 40 yards deep like Ohio State Utah game, even if we're on our own 20 yard line. So it's like, I don't know. I think this is a spot where, you know, and we'll probably talk about this moving forward, but nobody's exempt here from criticism.
No, I mean, the whole offense has to own it. It's execution, it's penalties, and it's turnovers like that, you know?
And I think Brian needs to take, you know, he has to look in the mirror and grade himself too. And I think red zone is a spot where he and the offense as a whole drastically failed this year. I mean, it was fucking abysmal. It was bad. And so there we are. We give them the ball. There's
and credit to the defense, force it to an out back, and they're backed up. So we get the ball back
at like our, it's at the 50. We get it at the 50.
Yeah, we get it at the 50. And then we just march down and score. Good for us. We scored.
We actually throw the start of that drive is actually one of his incomplete passes to Nico that was open. LaShawn Williams runs hard. I remember that play. So the LaShawn kid, when he lowers his shoulder into a defender, and I'm up in the nosebleeds, you hear the thump, man. It's like you can, I mean, he's a audible hit. 8 yards. Kentucky gets a penalty and offside, so we get a nice little first down. Then LaShawn goes for 12 yards. Gavin for 2. We go pass complete to Monty out in the flat, which was kind of like a
just kind a check of a, down.
Yeah, it was a check down play. And then we call a
great reverse that everyone hates, which worked to perfection.
Just perfectly. We get a great block on the edge, and Arlen Bruce crawls into the end zone. Could have fucking crab walked in. And what do you know? Kentucky's controlled this game, but it's 13-3 or 13-10, and it's a ball game, boys and girls.
Defense goes back out, forces another punt, and then we go 9 plays, 92 yards, touchdown. I do have to put in one caveat here. We lost the special teams battle by a lot.
Kick
return gets a D-. Punt gets a C. Torrey Taylor had two punts that
couldn't get one to sit back.
So
really,
going into that last drive, you know, if that gets down inside the 5 versus them bringing it out to the 20, that's a completely different thing to do.
I don't know if it's solely this, but I know it's a little bit this. Man, we miss Scary Terry. Terry Roberts was missed on special teams bad, right? And I'm encouraged by Jermari's performance at corner this game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but
he played really well.
Because he was a little bit questionable, because technically he's our fourth corner. We're down Hankins. We're down Terry. So he's in. It's him and Riley. And he played great at corner, but what we miss with Scary Terry Roberts in the special teams game, I mean, you guys saw it all this season earlier in the year. He was on every punt. And it seems like the last few games, we haven't been able to get a guy to the ball before it can roll into the end zone. And that's usually where Terry's sitting. So I don't know, man. That's 15 yards a couple times that matters. Yep. And that's tough.
Yeah. So, I mean, we go down, we put a nice drive together.
A great drive.
And yeah, a 92-yard touchdown drive, take the lead. And then the defense steps up again with a huge stop on 3rd and 2 and 4th and 1 to turn it over on downs.
And at this point, it feels like, damn, like we're now in control of this game because of how 100%. Good the defense was playing.
100%.
Is that where Jermari got the pick?
No, that would be the next drive. That's then the we next. Go 3 and out, unfortunately.
Yep.
It's 3rd and 1.
Yep.
So here's another critique I have. First down, 2 yard run. Second yard, 7 yard run, and we go fast. It's 6 minutes left in the game, and we go fast. We have the lead, and we get a 2 yard loss. This is where Tyre Linderbaum kind of got his foot caught.
Yeah,
that's if you really want to dissect it, he gets his foot caught on the guy next to him.
Yeah,
so he gets blown back. That's what stops the play. And Tyler Linderbaum gets hurt. So, one, I didn't like us going fast there.
Yeah.
Drake, what do you think?
Do we need to go fast there, Drizzy? Like, what are we doing?
I don't really like fast in our offense anyways. I never really have. I'm not a play caller, but even going all the way back to Coach Davis, I never liked our fast tempo offense.
For those listening, fast is just no huddle. Like everybody like runs to their spot.
So, I mean, it was a 7-yard run. It went 3rd and 1 and they're like, go, go, go fast, fast, yeah. fast. I think they ran the same play again.
Yeah.
And Linderbaum gets his foot caught, gets hurt.
And if we don't get caught, we probably get it. But, you know, when we go fast, everyone's the cohesion, the congruency in the flow of that wave of the offensive line gets a little bit out of whack. And that's what happens, unfortunately. And now
and here's the thing. Fast sometimes can really work if we haven't been wearing on a defense already with our normal offense.
Right.
Yeah. And that defensive line was already huffing and a puffing.
It didn't matter. We could have stayed in the same personnel. So the defense didn't really have time to swap their defensive line. And we still get in the huddle, call the play, come up to the line, do everything the same and blow them off the ball. Like we've been blowing them off the ball. So I'm in agreement with Kevin that I don't think hurry was probably the right call there.
Yeah. So we end up punting there and then.
Okay. But let's not brush over that. It's now 4th and inches, 4th and 2.
No, it was 4th and 2. You're talking wrong drive.
Oh, we're one away from that. Okay. Yeah.
4th and 2.
You're right.
Good punt by Torrey Taylor. Fair caught at the 11.
Yep.
We give up a few plays, and they are in Iowa territory. And then this is where Jamari Harris eventually comes up with the pick.
Yep.
Which, kid, you played a great game. Don't catch the fucking ball. It's 4th down. Don't catch the fucking ball, man.
Yeah, that's tough. I'll be honest. If I was there, I would have caught it,
it's
too.
It's tough to coach that, and it's tough when you're in the moment to remember it, but it's just like the running back that's got to go down instead of score the touchdown.
Yeah. If he drops that ball and just lets it go dead, we start on the 46 instead of the 36.
And think about it. When it's 4th and inches, we're on their 45 versus our 45.
Yeah. Or even, yeah, it's a whole first down,
which we can now talk about it. I sent in the group chat. I really hope we go for this. I'm going for this. They burn their timeout on 3rd down.
Yep.
With like 3:30 left.
Well, yes, because so we get this. So run it back. This is the questionable call everyone's talking about. We get the ball with 3:53 left in the game. Kentucky's got all their timeouts, and we know exactly where Iowa football is going. We're gonna run. We're just. Although in the Minnesota game, we did come out in a very similar situation and pass on 1st down twice, two possessions in a row. We actually went for a 4th and 1 in that game and got it. I don't know what the difference here is. Linderbaum is back in the game at this point.
No, he's not.
Oh, he wasn't?
He doesn't come in until the final drive.
Till the final drive. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Shooter had shifted over to center. To
center. So, we get a 6-yard run, timeout. 3-yard run, timeout. No gain. I thought that Kentucky would hang on to their timeout here.
They did not.
If they did, I'm punting. But since they burned it and it's 4th and 1, now if you get that 1st down, the clock starts running again.
It's game over.
An extra, it'd be 30 seconds to burn off. Say, worst case scenario, you get this 1st down. And then go 3 and out from there. They get the ball with 30 seconds left.
Yeah, it's effectively over.
Versus they hold on to that timeout and you get it. They can still get the ball back with 1 minute plus, which is why I would punt it in that situation. But since they burned it, I think we go for it. You're a 1/2 yard away from the win.
Also,
we're up
17.
You can say punt it and rely on your defense. I'd also say that going for it is also betting on your defense.
Right. We're up 17-13. They have to score a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So this isn't just getting field goal range and kick it. This is, okay, they have to put together a 45-yard drive here and get in the end zone,
I understand what KF is thinking. He's thinking he's trusting special teams to get it done with a good punt, and he's trusting his defense to get it done from there. We don't execute on the first one. And then we don't execute
on the second one, which is very rare, which is rare. I can't fault KF for thinking that Torrey Taylor is going to have a good punt and put us somewhere down inside the 15 or 10. And then our defense is going to stop this team with no timeouts with 3 minutes left. 8 out of 10 times, we probably do that. This was one of the two times, I guess. And God damn it, Wandell Robinson, the former Husker, is the one who beats us.
Yeah, and, so, I mean.
And we got confused on that play, too, where he goes for I don't know if you can give some.
Yeah, so that was, let's see.
First of all, fuck that back referee, okay, for this, because this is where they go third down. They get – no. They call a pass interference on Riley Moss on this upcoming drive. That was
That was the previous drive.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just bad at game recap.
This is the one where they just kind of dinked and doinked a little bit. We can't really get pressure. And then there was a miscommunication of some sort between Kayvon and Riley Moss where they're running a deep crosser route.
Yeah.
It's a tough route to cover. It's something that you kind of decide in the week, hey, are we switching this off or are we staying with our guy? Kayvon played it like they were switching off. Riley played it like they were staying with their guy, and we leave their best player wide open.
Not only that, he catches it. Riley does come off eventually, goes to make a tackle on the sideline, and this guy does some weird like hurdle step, super athlete move, and gets another 12 or 15 yards all the way down to the 1 yard line. Then we had a chance. They false start and we push him back to the six, but then Valk can't get a tackle.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's first and goal on the one and it's like a minute 54 left. You got to let him score. I think that
is that what you do?
I let him score personally.
Because you're just assuming
first and goal from the one, I let them score the very first time they snap the ball.
100%.
So that you get the most amount of time to go down and score three.
Exactly. So you get much time as you can to score a field goal. The chances of stopping them 4 times from 1 yard out, not great.
It's bad.
I like the chances of, like Drake said, with more time and trying to kick that field goal. Now they fall start. First and goal and six. We're playing defense, baby. Valk had the dude for a 3 yard loss, and then we're in really good shape. And couldn't
bring him down. And then even more surprising than that, maybe, is like everyone was blocked. Campbell couldn't get off his guy. I think Benson got caught up. We didn't have anybody on an angle to come get this guy before he could get into the end zone. Fuck, man, that just sucked bad.
Yeah, that would have. I think if he brings him down there, I like our chances of keeping him out of the end zone.
I do too.
A lot. But, you know, it ends up being like they never got the false start in the beginning and they scored in the first play. So now we have one chance. We need a field goal to tie the game.
Minute 48. Not a minute 48.
How are you boys feeling at this point?
After they score?
With knowing that we got a minute 48 to go and get three.
I am putting Phil Parker to shame and how much I was hooting and hollering during that last defensive drive. Like, I am shouting. I am throwing my hat. I am just very disappointed.
Are you asking confidence level in our offense, Drake, going in? Like,
yeah, man. What were you guys feeling? Oh, did you think it was going
to
happen?
My exact quote was to Lauren, well, not a great spot for this offense to be in. And you know what? We actually made a couple plays, right? Like, they're in prevent defense, but they're in a defense that's keeping everything in front. We go to Laporta for 12 yards. Cool. 37 yard line. Incomplete to Arlen. Okay. Clock stopped. Gavin runs for six. We're up to the 43. Okay.
I like still running at that point.
I do too. And, yeah. And we got to remember, we have the fucking Caleb Shudak, who has military clearance with his hip missile, and he can hit if we need it from the 40, if we get it to their 40. Okay. So at this point, there's a minute and 29 seconds left, or a minute 15 seconds left. We need 17 yards. And I'm thinking, boys, we got a chance. Complete to Sam. We get it to their 45. That's all. I mean, we need 5 yards. We'd love 10.
We got 5 yards the next play.
We got 5 yards. We're to their 40-yard line. It's second and five. And then guy comes off the edge. And
we had a timeout left, too.
It's sad. It's sad.
Yeah, we had a timeout left. Even if Spencer takes a sack there, which you definitely don't want to take a sack, bro, throw it at the guy's feet.
Somehow that ball stays up. Man. It's such a, you know why it's sad? Is because
it's emblematic of.
Yeah. You said that in the chat after the game, it's emblematic of the season as a whole, but you know why it's sad is because this offense has struggled. Right. And we come out in the second half, we run two fucking awesome drives, give me a handful or more of great play calls that are executed at a high level by our guys who have clearly put in the work for a month. We're in a big time game with a ranked opponent, SEC, January 1st. And then with a minute 48 against all odds, this offense that's ranked 150th out of 130 puts together a little drive to give our.
Then we beat ourselves.
And then we beat ourselves and we throw a pick, which honestly, we did not do a ton of this year. Outside of the Purdue game at the end of the game, you know, maybe the one great thing about Spencer is he's kept care of the ball for most. Yeah, I know he got hit.
Hail Mary pick, I don't give a shit. The one by D lineman, shit happens, tough to swallow. This is one where you'd hope a guy with experience does something better with the ball than just kind of letting it sail there.
Especially because it's second down, man. We've got a timeout. I mean, it's a sad way.
There's very few times, and the fact that we're in
somewhat of realistic field goal range right now.
Very realistic.
There's very few times in your entire life where that football is more important than that situation. Like in all the snaps you take as a quarterback in your whole career, very few times you're going to take a snap where the football is so vitally important. And like, there it was.
And I felt like I watched it in slow motion. Like that ball hang up in the air for just way too long.
I don't know how it didn't get down, man. I watched it literally on field level. Cause I was again down at the concourse by that time. It was like, that's tough. I mean, it sucks because we could literally go back and say, okay, screw it. We're not running a play. We'll just line Caleb up for a 58 yarder and take our chances. And we have like a 50-50 shot of him poking it through. And that's why it sucks, because then who knows what happens? I mean,
I like us in overtime. I think we were the better team. The second half, we were running the ball. Our defense was playing better than their defense. They were gassed. Their conditioning was not up to the level it needed to be. I think we win that overtime.
I agree 100%. We are getting stronger.
There was some stoppage of play due to some cramping. I think some of them were real. I saw a couple that were questionable.
There were some definitely questioned ones. On TV they said it was over 100 degrees on the field.
I guess it was 110 on the field. Kentucky plays on that shit though all year. And I do get it. I understand that it's over a month since they played the game and they're, you know, at Kentucky, they're probably not keeping the best conditioning over that month. Everyone's trying to rest and let the muscles and the joints heal over that month. Starters aren't
getting that food down there in Kentucky can get pretty greasy.
They've been eating with the Colonel at KFC. The fried chicken is greasy and it doesn't do great for the aerobic capacity. I understand, but there was one on Twitter specifically where the guy, it was after two big plays in the third quarter and the guy goes down, and not that it mattered. I think we ended up scoring a touchdown on it, but
yeah, I don't think it really affected the game very much, but that shit still has got to get eliminated somehow.
Yeah. And we lose 10-4.
A tough one to swallow, but you know what? As hard as it is to swallow, the guys played tough. They played hard. It was a performance that, no, you don't get the result you wanted, but it's not one that you're ashamed of.
I don't think so at all. And again, we said we're gonna dive a lot further into Petrus, Padilla. You know, I don't know how close you guys have followed it, but you know, during this last week over and or maybe 2 weeks ago in bull prep, the Joey Labas kid. I think I called him Joey Labia on DHT or maybe 2 weeks ago on the regular show. Supposedly he's impressed. And so there's a third dog in the hunt now, right? Like, and so he's going to be the name, like, oh, what's he got in spring ball, all this stuff. We got a lot to talk about. I think that.
Let's just have all three of them on the podcast and have them hash it out.
On the same episode. All right, washed up walk-ons fans. We brought in the three quarterbacks, number 7, number 8, and whatever number LaVos is.
Number five.
We just figured you guys will have a conversation. Just figure out who's going to start this next year, who's going to take the reps.
Figure out why the quarterback performance this year was so lackluster. And
Drake, I got a question for you.
Maybe I got an answer for you.
And I will say that I'm going to be real honest here. I'm going to be real honest. I think there is an inclination for the three of us to hold back a little bit, just a little bit, and be maybe 5 or 10% less critical of the coaching staff, maybe of some of the players in a way that others would be because we played for them or know them.
We were those guys, man.
Right. Realistically, Drake, what do you think about Brian's year as the offensive coordinator? I personally, even though I believe our offense is better than what it looks like, and it's not necessarily all his fault, even if we execute, right? If we look at his whole 5 years as an offensive coordinator, he's a middle of the pack to bottom third of the country OC as far as total offensive yards go. Do we shop OC? That's the question.
It's a question I can't answer because I truly believe that it was a personnel issue this year. Like, I believe that Brian Ferentz was a 10-4 offensive coordinator. Like, that is a very good depiction of what the offensive, you know, what the offense could have been this year.
Sure.
The defense was like a 13-1 defense, but the offensive performance was like, you know,
a five and seven
team, like just dead ass. And you meet in the middle and find 10-4. But I truly don't believe that it was a play calling issue that was letting us down this year or holding us back.
I agree.
And man, I don't know. I just don't think it's a Brian Ferentz issue. I think he's brought creativity to an offense. And like, dude, we didn't have a lot of Jimmy and Joes this year. It just is what it is.
Dude, just because it isn't his fault, do you still, and this is more rhetorical, but do you still ask yourself, well, is there better out there? Could we hire someone who?
Sure, if you want to do that. But how much is a new offensive coordinator going to get Coach Ferentz, the head coach Ferentz, want to completely overhaul the offensive scheme and not hold together the framework of, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that is
the head coach Ferentz is the head coach Ferentz. Yep. Like, he makes those decisions, the framework of the offense. He has an offensive coordinator who is going to run the offense that he wants his football team to run, that he believes his football team is recruited to run.
KF is the identity. Do you think Brian at a different school runs a different playbook?
Dude, all I know is that when I was in meetings with Coach Brian, and we had done all of our stuff, and he was showing us other things about the offense, and he was going over plays that had nothing to do with us, but, you know, just et cetera, et cetera. He's being the offensive coordinator in meetings once our meeting was over. And the guy is super brilliant. And in the offseason, he's now going to go and he's going to get advising from tons of top offensive coordinators, offensive minds, NFL coaches to figure out why the red zone offense was so lackluster and what their new philosophies are on how to beat red zone defenses. And like, he's going to go do his homework. You can absolutely bet all your chips on it. And I expect for the offense to look the same from a framework standpoint next year. Like, the, we're going to be trying to run downhill and things like that and establish a run game. And that's always going to be the identity of Iowa. But like, I would expect that you're going to see some new things out of Brian, because he's going to be looking for answers to put more points on the board. Like, it just is what it is. He's going to be doing his homework though.
I like that answer. Next question. And this is more of a short, just because you were in the room with him. Do you, in my opinion, Brian's the type of guy who is a head coach someday. How quickly does he look for those opportunities?
I have no idea. I can't speak for him at all.
Okay. I just wanted your opinion, if you had any.
Yeah, I don't think Brian is necessarily in a hurry to leave.
Okay.
Though I think that his football mind has very few limitations.
I think Brian will be a fantastic head coach.
I mean, I want to play for Brian Ferentz till the day I die. You know what I'm saying? It won't matter what Brian calls me up for. Anytime I pick up the phone and he says, hey, meet me here and have a sledgehammer, I'll make sure I go to Home Depot.
You'd have the shovel ready if he dropped you the Aaron Hernandez call at 2 a.m.?
Well, no, I think he's calling me to be the hitman and then bury the body myself. Like, he wants nothing to do with it.
All right. Yeah, man, I agree. If they find a COVID year under Drake Kulik's NCAA,
hey, what I can tell you right now, I can absolutely fly, because the other day I let Kaylee's dog off the leash. She has a little, I don't know, like a 20-pound dog, can run pretty quick though, and she always just walks right beside me. But she really wanted to get home, and she just took off bolting, and I'm like, fuck, like, I did not want this dog to get hit by a car or something. And just instinctually, I took off in a dead sprint. I was floating. I was running this dog down. And by the time we got to the door, I was still picking up speed, dude. I'm telling you, I'm in 4-4 shape right now.
Okay. I don't believe that. I believe there's, I don't, okay. That's a strong statement, dude, but I'll.
If you would have seen how high my knees were and how perpendicular to the to my ankle my shin was, I mean, it was just absolutely perfect pal mechanic.
You were chin to hip, huh?
Dude, I was floating across the subdivision.
All right. Well, that's a solid hour review of that game. Not as a entertainment based, but hopefully you guys enjoy the insight on that. I'll leave it with this. Did you guys, Lauren and I on New Year's spent it in bed. We ate a steak dinner and then went to sleep. Did you guys enjoy New Year's Eve? Did you have any festivities or did you just go to sleep?
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
Did you get hammered, Kev?
Had a couple cocktails.
Had some Kool-Aid, some slurp juice.
Had some grape juice.
Had a chug jug. I miss Fortnite. Yeah, man. Was Nashville? Was there like fireworks? Sick fireworks in Nashville for? I'm sure there was, but you weren't out.
So
is this a D?
Might have gotten.
Is this a DH? Okay, we'll save this. We're gonna save this for the. So if you guys want to listen to the New Year's Eve stories, we'll save that for DHT, Washed Up Walk, or patreon.com/washedupwalkons. Appreciate you guys joining us. I honestly, dude, I swear to God, I did not want to do this podcast. I'm tired from flying back today. And then I got on here, saw you boys. I was happy to talk to you. Happy to do the pod.
I did the whole podcast with the lights off because I put the stars in the sky.
Yeah, you're in a dungeon, man. You've got the, I mean, it looks like you belong in Harry Potter world at night right now. So we'll talk more about that on the LDHT, but thanks for joining us. Hey, thanks for the year we had in 2021. Again, this is our first podcast of 2022. As Drake just said, we're going to have Shooter Shoots on early I mean, just coming out hot in the guest season. Kevin's leaving the pod, maybe for good. No, it won't be for good. But we enjoy everybody coming and listening to the show. 282. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Thursday. Hopefully,
I'm looking forward to Dickhead Tuesday, man. We're gonna have a lot of fun.
Oh, Dickhead Tuesday is gonna be a good one,
dude. I did jujitsu with Theo Vaughn, so
we have so much to talk about. Oh my god! All right, well, until then, chew on this loss a little bit. We got a whole lot more to talk about, including more recap of this season. So, for Drake, Kevin, myself, walk-ons are out. See you Thursday. Peace.